I'm going to start by reading. We're going to be looking at Mark 8, 27 through to 38. So these open Bibles are coming up on the screen. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist." Others said, "Elijah," and others, "one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach with them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with the disciples, he said to them, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever would lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does a man profit to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Dear God, I pray that you would open up your word tonight to us. Would we learn deeply from it, allowing it to impact us through the Holy Spirit. God, we pray for your blessing. Amen. So, I am absolutely buzzing to be back here. To have the opportunity to come and speak to my home church family is just, honestly, I'm so excited. I was speaking with Joshua, one of my mates from college, about preaching at our placement church, and I was like, oh, well, I'm just so excited to have the opportunity to preach at home church first, because I know you guys, I love you, I've been on a journey with you through the last 22 years. So I'm so excited to have this opportunity, and I'm so excited to be able to preach from this passage, what Jesus is saying directly here. It's a hard-hitting passage. It's got some real challenges that if we neglect and just leave, we are really not living the life that God has called us to. And this message for me really comes, it's really from the heart, honestly, because this has all been a journey for me very recently over the last term of actually seeing myself very much slip into church culture of doing the right things and living the right way. And actually, God has really challenged me to go, you need to actually be living this out properly, not just sitting back and letting other people do it for you. Mates from college have seen me in absolute rage and in passion about this, because I've seen it so neglected in my own life, and that's really where it comes from for me. So what I'm going to start with is a book. I'm going to start with a prayer from the Valley of Vision. If anyone knows this book, it's a really good book. It's basically a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions. So I'm going to start with that. I'd love you just to listen and pray along with me. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the Valley of Vision, where I live in the depths, but see thee in the heights, hemmed in by the mountains of sin. I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is a healed heart, that the contrite spirit is a rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime, stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter the stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy light in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, thy glory in my valley. Amen. So let's just set the passage a little bit. We're halfway through Mark here. We've seen Jesus going around. He's around the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching, and he's healing, he's performing miracles, he's going around with his disciples, and the crowds are coming in to see him. And I find there's a beautiful kind of part of this passage now where we see Jesus and his disciples who've been travelling, who are now alone, ready for some teaching. And Jesus comes in and he asks some really big questions here to the people who are closest to him, to his disciples. And I see two elements that I think we really need to think about as we use 27 to 33 just to set what then is said in 34 through to 38. And it's these two questions. And the first thing is, who do you say that I am? And there's these group, the group of disciples like, well, some are like John the Baptist, some are saying Elijah, or the prophets. And they're all a bit kind of, they're kind of understanding, but they haven't totally got what's going on, what Jesus is actually asking here, and who he really is. And then you get this second question, who do you say that I am? And Peter, being in that inner circle, intimate with Jesus, goes, you're the Christ. I get it. No, I understand this. I get it. And that's such a beautiful moment in Scripture, as Peter's like, yes, I've got this, I understand it. Four verses later, Jesus goes, get behind me, Satan. You're not focusing on the things of God, you're focusing on the things of man. And I want to just put two places we could be forward. Are we in that boat where we're like, I'm oblivious to what Jesus is really doing? Yes, I'm a Christian and I'm saved, but I don't really know where he's going in my life, I don't really know what he's doing. Or are we in that second boat where we're like, you are the Christ. I understand you are the Christ. But four verses later, I'm standing in the way of what Jesus wants to do in my own life. That's a big challenge to go, actually, where am I at here? Who am I saying Jesus is? How am I living that out? So, here we are. 34 comes round. And there's a shift now. We've moved from the questions to the disciples and their conversation with Jesus and working out where they are. And now Jesus goes and calling the crowds to him with the disciples. So there's a moving out here. The disciples are going out with Jesus again. He's into some teaching situation around the villages in Caesarea Philippi. And 34 is just a beautiful, beautiful verse. It's so challenging. We need to think about it in so many different ways. To deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And there's one thing that I missed the first time I looked through it. And it's this first part of 34 where it goes, if anyone would come after me. Actually, are we making a conscious decision every day to go, you are the Christ, and I am coming after you. I'm not just sitting back. I'm not just going to stay here in my comfortable situation. But are you fully going, yes, I'm going after God. I'm going after what he has for my life, the calling he's placed on my life. He's taken us from death to life, as we look into Ephesians 2. He's taken us from death to life through his mercy and grace. And has then set us in the Christian life and gone, are you coming with me? Are you coming after me? So there we are. Are we going to go fully after Jesus? Do we understand where we are? Are we going, you're the Christ, I understand you? Are we getting in his way? Are we oblivious to what he wants? But are we wholeheartedly and consciously going to make the effort to go, yes, I'm going after Christ here because I understand what he's done, I understand who he is, and I want the life that he set for me. And we're moving on, and he calls us to deny himself. Let him deny himself. That is a challenge within itself. What does that look like for us? What is it in our lives that we are holding back? What is it that distracts us from the true goal and calling of our lives? I know for me, and we've talked about this a lot at college, is phones. I spend hours on my phone, flicking through Facebook, flicking through Instagram, BBC Sport, silly games. I spent hours doing it. What is it in your life, materialistic or not, that is holding you back to go after Jesus fully? What is it that you need to go, whoa, I need to lay this down? And I think there's a challenge here to go, this isn't just a heart issue. It is a heart issue at the core. But I feel God is actually saying to us more and more, we look into our Western culture and how much do we have? How do we spend our money? And actually, he's going, you need to lay more down, because that will allow you to have the opportunity to go, yes, I'm going after you. And then we move on to take up his cross. We look into Romans 12 and it goes, be a living sacrifice. That is a huge calling upon our lives. As we look back to sacrifice in the Old Testament, that was not you give part of what you have to God. It was you give the first fruits, the very best, comes forward, and that's what you bring before God. The Christian life has a serious calling placed upon it. To sacrifice everything for God. As it goes on to say, to lose your life. If we neglect that calling and the seriousness of it, we're neglecting Jesus. We're neglecting what he's done for us. And then, follow me. If we just get caught in a trap of going, oh, I'm going to deny myself, I'm going to push this away from my life, and then I'm going to take up more and do more and do more, we just put ourselves in a position of works. Follow me. An intimate, deep relationship with Christ through his word, through learning and reading the scripture, through praying, through being in community together, fellowship together. We develop deep relationships with the Holy Spirit's action in our life that go, okay, what now do I deny? What is it that I push aside in my life and go, this is distracting me from my true calling? And what is it that I need to go, well, I need to properly take up the sacrifice that God has called me to? We move on to 35. And there is this beautiful paradox. And it says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. We're called to lose everything. We're called to follow him wholeheartedly, deny ourselves, take our cross and follow him. I was reading a book last year. It's a book called Radical by a guy called David Platt, pastor in America. And he talks about this thing called secret church, which is, he went over to China, and as we know, persecution of Christianity in China is illegal, and actually, what he went over to do was met up with a Chinese pastor. It was an underground church movement, and he said, well, what do you want me to preach on? Because he went over there to help, and he talks about how they have a few pages of the Psalms, that is it, that is their whole scripture. They have nothing more to get because they just can't get it. And he goes, well, what do you want to preach on? And the pastor goes, well, everything. The whole Bible. They don't have the opportunity to hear it. So he goes, okay, how are we going to do this? And he goes, well, what we do is we're a secret church, and people who come along will, their day will look like this. They will get up early in the morning. They will work a long day all the way through to early evening, and then they will go home for a little bit, and then they will do whatever they need to do, and they will get to church as quickly as possible. Church is an underground movement, small room, 50 people crammed in, and they'll get there at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and they will be a community together, listening to God's word being preached to them. The first time they would have had a whole Bible being able to be preached to them, and they stay there from 10 o'clock in the evening to 3 o'clock in the morning, and they just soak up God's word. They soak up everything. They pray together. They are together. They're weeping in absolute joy over what they're hearing. And then they'll go home at 4 o'clock in the morning, get a couple hours sleep, and go back to work and do it all again. They're willing to give up every part of their life that they can, while still providing for their families, and go, I'm going after God, I have to hear his word, I have to go after it. That's such a challenge. I walk around college and I'll go into people's rooms, and there's nothing wrong with this, but you'll see a line of 12 different Bibles, an ESV, an NLT, an NIV, all of them lined up. And the thing is, and this is me just as guilty as anyone else, we'll read it for 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Whereas these guys will give up hours and hours of sleep so they can hear God's word. That's just a huge challenge to where we're at. And it comes back to 35. What are we willing to do in terms of losing our life for God's sake and for the gospel? That is such a challenge. His glory and his gospel going out. That's what it's set before us. So then we move on to 36. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? If we truly believe what we proclaim to believe, that God is who he is, he's done what he's done, he's created us, his redemptive plan is seen throughout the whole of Scripture, the calling is placed on our lives, how is there any other way to live than what is set before us in 34? We think of Matthew 6 and it talks about treasures in heaven. Actually, what is our goal in life? It's heaven itself. That we look forward to Revelation and we see the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy. You are worthy to receive glory, honour and power." We've come from death to life. God has taken us out from death to life, as we see in Ephesians 2. And he's set before us a life that is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard, don't get me wrong. But it's going to be absolutely beautiful because of our end goal, where God is taking us wholeheartedly to. And then I love 37 in there, because we can get so caught up, as you said earlier, about works, about me denying stuff and taking a cross. And 37 says, well, what can a man give in return for his soul? There's this beautiful reminder of Jesus to go, it's me who's doing the salvation work. Don't get it wrong. Yes, I'm calling you to make a conscious effort to go after me wholeheartedly and deny yourself and take up your cross. But don't forget that it's me who's doing the work. Don't forget that it's his salvation, his redemptive power in us. But don't also neglect the effort that God has placed on our life to go after holiness. Because that's what he's called us to. He's called us to imitate Christ, to be an example to other believers, to the world that we live in. Do not let that slip. And then 38 then is this harrowing reminder. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We are made alive through Christ's work. Jesus is the one that has set before us the Christian walk. It's not going to be easy. It's going to entail obedience, it's going to entail holiness and a striving for something that's so much deeper than we're already at. God is constantly growing us, he's constantly pulling us down, pulling us apart and building us back up to see more of him, to imitate more of him, to be more like him. God knows our hearts. He knows if we're ashamed of him and the gospel. There's a difference between being fearful of taking his word out, because it can be difficult. I'm in a rugby club at the moment, and to try and talk about the gospel to a load of 6'5" massive blokes swearing at you and trying to smash you is not an easy task. And I'm fearful of that. I'm not saying it's easy, but there's a difference between being fearful and just being ashamed of the gospel. We must recognise what God has called us to. for his sake and his gospel. And we must recognise here that there is consequences for our actions. That Jesus is saying, if you're ashamed and you neglect this, and you neglect the call that Jesus has set on our lives as Christians every day, Jesus will be ashamed. If we totally neglect the life that he has called us to, he will be ashamed. And that's a challenge. That's a big challenge, because I know I can so easily lose sight of what God has called me to and the walk that he's placed me in, and get so bogged down in church life, college life, placement, working out different things like that for me, and there's so many different areas for all of us. But we must remember what God has called us to. So here we are. Are you consciously going to go after Jesus? Yes, it's his work and it's Holy Spirit working through us, but he's calling us to make a conscious effort. In home life, with family, with work, with school, with college, in the rugby club, in the coffee shop, in the music group, wherever you are, are you consciously making an effort, not just to spend more time in those places, but to be intentional in who you speak to and what you speak of? We're very easy to go, oh, I have to build up a really good relationship with someone. And yes, ministry through relationship is fantastic. God's given us the ability to just speak of his gospel, to not have to wait around. We have the opportunity to do that now, and really obvious, but somebody pointed it out to me the other week and said, we only get one life to tell the gospel. Yes, we get heavenly riches and we're with our Father, we're the angels singing in absolute glory in paradise, but we only get one life to tell the gospel. I think, but how many people have I missed that opportunity? God is calling us to glorify him and to his gospel. What is it that we're going to deny for ourselves, for his glory in our own lives, the calling he's placed upon us? What is it that we need to remove from our lives? What is it that we need to do to take up our cross? What is it that we need to sacrifice? Is it time? Is it giving up more time for God? Is it being more intentional within the areas of your life you do give up for God? Is it your treasure, your material things that you hold on to so dearly? Is it your skills and your abilities and the places you've been placed in? What is it that you are going to give up wholeheartedly for God and taking up your cross, follow him? How are we going to follow him? Complete obedience and selfless faith, pursuing holiness with a conscious effort to go, I know who you are, I know where you've brought me from, I know you are the Christ, and I don't want to get in your way. I want to open the door for you to work completely in my life and use me as a humble servant for your glory and for your gospel. This is the life we have been called to. If we neglect it, we are neglecting Jesus and what he has set before us. This is a huge challenge. And it's a massive challenge for me. As I said, this is written out of a place of actually, I want to see this more in my life. And not just see it more, I want God to completely take hold of my life as I go, yeah, I'm going for it, God, I'm going for it. Help me, protect me. The calling placed on every single one of our lives is two things, I think. And it's two things that I try to hold on to day by day, and I constantly fail, but God loves me still. He's still calling me to go more for him. And it's these two things of glorify God in every element of your life. Whether it's the areas that you don't think, oh, God's not really in that. Glorify God in every area, the way that you act, the way that you talk to people, the way that you interact, the kind word, Your actions and your deeds glorify God in every element of them. And then take his gospel out. He's clearly set that before us to take his gospel out to every part of our lives, into family, into work, into school. So many different areas. God is saying, take my gospel out. For my sake and my gospel's, lose your life.